say anyway. Hello.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Welcome to FFF, so 2808-2808. Mike Matthews at Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
The last place on earth here in Ameritopica. It's in California that we're at, and I've got to warn ya, California ranks fourth for high business startup and maintenance costs. Oh my gosh. Oh, what's that about? Awesome.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Who would be number one? Let's tell you right after
Mike's.
They say
Daily.
The name of the show one more time.
Podcast.
New York.
Yeah.
Of course, New York ranks as the most expensive state for entrepreneurs, with high commercial rent costs, weekly wages, and LLC filing costs. But California is fourth. That from juniorresearch.org. Washington is second. Washington State. Massachusetts is third. And then Mississippi was revealed as the most affordable state to set up and maintain a business. There was another study we were reading earlier, maybe last month, about how Mississippi was not a good state to be in for other reasons. And now it's a good state for this. So, I think as far as wages go, yeah, you got, they don't, their minimum wage is dirt. So, business consulting firm Venture Smarter actually analyzed 8 metrics that could influence the cost of setting up and running a business in each state. This included each state's corporate tax rate. Ah, taxes. The fees for an LLC filing, which you got to do in order to set up a business. Average commercial rent costs. You're going to have your business somewhere in some space, or is it going to be at home? Well, if it's not going to be at home, you have rent costs, unless you're renting your where you are. And then the hourly minimum wage. This was gathered for all 50 states, which scored out of 100.
And here's today's podcast picture.
The podcast picture, let us go back in time to a fun outing that my lovely lady friend and I did fairly recently in the Russian River area. Ooh, that sounds awesome. I need to get back up there. Now would be a good time to do that. But see that cool picture of one of my trips at mikesdailypodcast.com. It was a Mike-scursion. That's right. The fourth, let's see. It costs $200 on average to file an LLC in New York, which is the fourth most expensive in the country. Guess who's right alongside them? Alabama, where I used to live. Not with the late, great Basil the Boxer, though. He never lived there. As soon as I moved back to California, we got him. But, oh boy, another deep discussion with my lovely lady friend about getting another dog. Like, okay, are the cats going to put up with the new dog? What are we going to do? All those things you consider. We might just end up... The exacerbation frustrations... station? No. It's a mental analysis paralysis. That's it. Some kind of rhyming thing. Let's see. New York's labor force makes up 49.7% of its population. And see, the Empire State has an average corporate tax of 7.1%. Let's see. Any other interesting thing to say here? I guess not. Texas, it scores 59.74 out of 100. It's the ninth most expensive state for entrepreneurs, interestingly enough. And it ties Tennessee.
Is that why you're bald, Mike?
Tennessee, no. That is not why I'm bald, laughing man. Keep on laughing. More than 27,000 business applications were submitted in November 2023 alone. That was in New York. Mississippi's comparatively lower startup costs may be an intentional move to incentivize entrepreneurship. They hold the highest rate of poverty of any state, so that could end up helping them. And did you hear, back to Tennessee, Chattanooga where VW moved to years ago. They moved, they built a big factory there. They were going to be in Huntsville or Birmingham, somewhere in Alabama, Montgomery maybe, but then it ended up being in Chattanooga. They've joined the union, I last heard. So, and this is a very bizarre statistic.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
A danger statistic. Let me start from the beginning here. This came from thefire.org, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. A third of Stanford students, which is right across the bay, here in the Bay Area, a third of Stanford students say using violence to silence speech can be acceptable. A year after Judge Kyle Duncan was shouted down at Stanford University, a new FIRE report, once again, I just want to say it's Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, but that's a big, long name, so we'll say FIRE, but don't shout FIRE at cafe anyway. That's people that, as you can see, the people here don't really appreciate that. But this new report from FIRE lays out just how dim the free speech climate at the school really was before and after the incident. 3/4 of Stanford students say shouting down a speaker is either rarely, sometimes, or always an acceptable form of protest. And more than a third say the same about physical violence. FIRE used polling data before and after the judge's visit to map out how high-profile heckler's veto changed Stanford's free speech climate.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
That's what you need, is a Mr. Microphone to shout down people. No, well, they don't make those anymore. Well, they have, I guess there's the other type of, there's a bullhorn. No, is that really the heckling? Not the biggest fan of heckling, of hecklers. Freedom of speech. Well, this article goes on to say, Stanford students had complicated and seemingly contradictory feelings about the judge's visit itself. Judge Duncan. 74% of students agreed that the school failed to uphold its commitment to free speech during Judge Duncan's visit. As we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth. Stanford students' view on the shoutdown differed depending on their politics. Conservatives were more likely than liberals to defend Judge Duncan, and liberals were more likely than conservatives to defend the disruption. In the largest partisan gap, 88% of conservatives believe the students who disrupted the event should have been punished.
Anyway.
Whereas only 35% of liberals believe the same. Okay, well, there you go. Did you learn something from that? Wow, this goes on to say, only 59% said Stanford should allow a speaker on campus who believes that biological differences explain gender differences, including less than half of liberal students, 49%. Only 40% said that a speaker who believes that same-sex marriage is unconstitutional should be allowed. Duncan argued in support of same-sex marriage bans as an attorney, and only 31% would allow a speaker who supports the prosecution of women who obtain abortions. And it gets really deep into issues that will set off conservatives and liberals. So I was thinking, back to We Are the World, I've been thinking a lot about that ever since I watched that Netflix documentary. And about how everybody there, the most outrageous person, and that was something, the word outrageous was used a lot that night by Lionel Richie, because Lionel was the host of the American Music Awards that just preceded the recording. So basically, the stars, about 40 famous singers that were at that event, then went to A&M recording studios at A&M Records, and then they did the song We Are the World. But and he kept saying all night, outrageous, because he kept winning awards. And Cindy Lauper was wearing all this jewelry and what do you call them? The wristbands and stuff. And bangles and what, I don't know, whatever you call those things that were popular in the 80s. She's
it's
wearing
a trap.
Yes, it is a trap. Don't wear too many of them because you'll fall down from the weight. And when she's recording her part, Steve Perry of Journey says, hey, there's some kind of talking on the tape or some kind of noise when they're playing back the tape and you're singing. And it took Kim Carnes, who sang Betty Davis Eyes, a big hit for her, and had some hits with Kenny Rogers and on her own. But she, one of my favorites of hers, Crazy in the Night. I think that was one of her last big hit songs. She says to Cindy, it's all your jewelry. It's making too much noise. And Cindy Lauper says, I'm really loaded today. Loaded down. So once she took it all off, which you see in the video for the song We Are the World, she had removed a lot of it so it wouldn't make all that noise. But that's how things were when you're in a recording situation and you're trying to record an album. Maybe we dispense with the jewelry. But Madame Rutabaga, you can keep yours on. Thank you, Michael Myers. It's Madame Rutabaga on. I have lots of jewelry.
Mike is awesome.
I agree. Ooh. Yes. So you like those bands, wristband thingies?
Yes.
You like necklaces?
Yes.
Do you like scrunchies?
No.
Oh. I honestly don't know. I need to pay more attention when my lovely lady friend puts on jewelry and things and figure out the names of all this stuff. Look who else is here.
Hold day, Mike. This is Valentino, the parking attendant.
And this is Bison Bentley. Dude!
Mike, we want to shout you down sometimes when you're doing your podcast day.
Yeah, podcast shout. Out, down, dude!
Well, that's not nice. So we published this podcast today, and we hope you liked it.
What was that all about?
You can call.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
And that's the end of the show. If you would like to contact me or find out anything else podcast, Mike's Daily Podcast related, and anything else, by gosh, here is the place to reach me. And with all that other information and whatnot, it's A-Frame.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.